Rusty Quill presents.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Hello, everyone. This is Motsi. Now, just to let you know, in case you didn't see our announcement, because I got sick and because it got really, really busy in the lead-up to Comic-Con, we are delaying this week's episode to next week. So the new episode, Sinungaling, or Lies, will be coming out next week, Thursday for Early Access patrons, and Sunday for everybody else. In the meantime, we wanted to do something that you'd still enjoy, so we opened up a Q&A on our socials. Here's some of the fantastic questions we got from our patrons and our listeners. From Megan, on the Hainai Patreon. What was the inspiration for Hainai? These characters are so rich and fully realized, I'd love to know the origin of the story. Now for Hainai, we have mentioned before that we were inspired by the Magnus Archives, but we were also inspired by a lot of other things, like Filipino ghost stories, Filipino horror stories. We were inspired by our own culture and folklore. And also, for the characters, we were partially inspired kind of by the cast that we had. So a lot of people have wondered, oh, you know, how did you come up with these characters? And I did have some ideas for certain archetypes of characters, and for sure, like, I had personalities in mind. But the reason that a lot of the characters seem rich and fully realized is that I was building it alongside our cast, and the cast was actually built from one of my closest friends here in Canada from when I first arrived, and also... This is gonna be really funny. This is not my first podcast. My first podcast is actually a movie podcast that I tried to start with my other friends. We were doing it for like a whole year, and then we unfortunately had to stop because it wasn't getting that many returns. Although, if you are curious, you can go give it a listen. It's called The Plot Mechanics, and the four people who were on there were me, Leon, who plays Donner, Adil, who plays Ashvin, and Ed, who plays Murphy. So you have that cast ready, and I was like, I'm gonna start a podcast, you know, do you guys want to be cast on that podcast? And they were like, yeah, sure. And it ended up that that podcast did not continue, but this one kept going. So, to answer your question... we have a lot of inspirations. We have a lot of, like, inspiration from horror. Magnus Archives made us start a podcast, but the characters themselves, I built them off of specific archetypes. But at the same time, I wanted to be a bit more rich in the writing. So I sat them down and I was like, do you have any ideas for your character as well? Anything you'd want to add? And some of the details about certain characters I actually based on the people themselves. And some of it I just made up whole cloth, and you can guess which one's which. The heights are pretty... The heights are fairly accurate. I'm not 5 feet tall, I am 5'3", but still, when you stand me beside the other cast members, you will see the height difference is quite close to how they are in the podcast, so there's that. And okay. Next question. From Fei Fungi, or Fai Fungi. How do you go about balancing character development / background with the more horror action scenes? Is there a reason Murphy is one of the last main characters to have his backstory explored? That's a really good question, and I wish I could tell you what the answer is. I'm kidding. With character development and background, with the more horror action scenes, it's kind of like the story is set in a certain way. Like, I know what the beginning, middle, and end of Haina is, but building the middle is partly based on inspirations of the moment when I'm writing them, and partly based on things that I want to happen within the story. So I start placing them where I think they're most appropriate. I know the character development, like the character development is fairly set. There are certain things that have changed from the very beginning, I'm sure many of you can tell, but the general outline and the major plot points and the major character moments have been there from the beginning, and you can go back to the first episodes and see that we've been leading up to them for years now, essentially. Spoilers for the new episode. Okay, so like the next couple of sentences will be spoilers, so cover your ears. I mean, I don't know how you got to this Q&A if you haven't listened to the other episodes, but no judgment. I'm just gonna say that. Okay, spoilers. The aspect of Murphy's feelings for Donner has been there since the beginning, and I think some people did pick up on it, although they might have been thrown off by, you know, Murphy getting together with Ashvin and Donner and Mary having like a growing thing. But it's never that simple. And I like it when it's never that simple. The way that his character developed is that I knew exactly when he would sort of reveal to other characters, but also to the audience, that particular aspect of his life, and it would be a major shift in how you would see Murphy. I knew where that would go. Now, how long it took for us to get there was not something I completely expected, but those are kind of like the anchor points. Like, in between, I get a little more freedom, and which I enjoy because I like having the rhythm of being able to tell, like, individual stories that fit into the rest of the story, but the way that the characters are set out are pretty well planned. And it's just a matter of like, okay, this point in the story is when we now reveal this aspect of the character, or this aspect of the character, and I have to make sure that, you know, I come back to it, and I don't just leave it forever. And this part of the podcast right now, like this part of Act 3, is when a lot of character building is going to happen. And I do remember seeing kind of a complaint, or at least like, you know, wondering when we'd get back to the main characters, and part of that is, this is going to sound very silly, but part of that is because we were coming up to the winter holidays and everyone was too busy to record, so I had to very quickly finagle some extra episodes out, which was fun for me because I do like telling the individual stories as well, but unfortunately nobody was available to record in December because it's Christmas and I was traveling, so we had to either decide to just stop posting for all of December and maybe some of November, or we would post some episodes, but just not main character episodes, and that's what we ended up deciding. So yeah, a mix of things, like real life things, like sometimes if a person can't record, we either delay the episode, but we try to avoid doing that, or we put in a different episode, but one that would still fit into the story beats. And sometimes we even like record an episode early, but then we cut it into pieces to fit into other parts of the story. So, you know, it depends, it really depends. It really depends on like the need in that moment. Also, the reason Murphy is the last one to have his backstory explored is that he kind of lends himself to that sort of thing. He has always been very casual in his presentation in a way where you know he's hiding something, and now you know what he's been hiding. So I think that particular mystery is interesting because he seems so mundane otherwise. Yeah, there are certain like theories about him that came up, and I think it's really interesting to see how perspectives shift on Murphy now that this aspect of his character has been revealed. Another question from Fei Fungi is, silly question. What are the main characters' favorite / go-to breakfast foods? And the group chat was very... the cast group chat was very happy to answer these questions. So let me read them out right now. So for Murphy, according to Ed, he likes home fries drenched in hot sauce. For Ashvin, according to Adil, he likes Crave double chocolate cereal. For Donner, according to Leon, he likes Eggs Benedict, salmon, and lox. And for Laura, according to Abigail, one of those giant diner breakfasts, eggs and all the breakfast meats, the potatoes, pancakes, the whole thing. Which is not surprising, given that Laura is, like, the powerhouse. And Natalie says, for Evelyn, I don't think Evelyn eats breakfast, but if she did, she would probably get something portable like a granola or a protein bar. If she was looking for something more substantial, she might buy a bagel, BELT, and an ice cap. Can you have a Jamaican patty for breakfast? The classic Torontonian meal. Malaya asks, what was your favorite episode to write and or record? So I think I've answered this before. Earlier on, I said that my favorite episode to record was the musical episode because I didn't have to do that much work. And we got to sing, which is something I really enjoy. But in terms of writing, I think the latest episode, I don't know if I liked writing it, but it was the one where I put the most... Because it's such an important episode in terms of, like, character development, and I think, given the nature of this podcast, character development is something I really strive to do my best in. Because I can write a horror story, no problem. I can write events happening, no problem. I'm confident in my ability to write those. But when it comes to emotional moments, I read back what I write and I feel embarrassed by what I wrote. But I have some people like double checking to see if it reads well, and I got some assurances on that. And yeah, so I think like I really enjoyed writing the very emotional and very painful, I think for some people, last episode. But it was also very painful. I will say I was suffering a little bit. So I guess that's my favorite episode so far, the latest one. Although, you know, more to come soon. Question from Jesse. We talk a lot about who is the benefactor, but I want to know, why is the benefactor? Why is he trying to amass power? Why does he hide his identity? What is his end goal? Those are wonderful questions from our co-producer Jesse Goodsell, who, even though they could get the entire story right here, right now, they refuse to because they want to stay... You know, they want to be able to enjoy the mystery like everyone else, and that's awesome. It is very fun to go to them and be like, okay, our plans for the next episode are... We're not going to tell you, but we are... they have the privilege and the ability to know what's going to happen ahead of time, but they limit themselves to the early access because they want to really enjoy it as it's coming out, and I really appreciate that. That being said, all of these questions will be answered in the future because the benefactors, like backstory and motivations and everything, are a central point of High Nai's Season 1, and hopefully the answers will be satisfying. Another question from Jesse Goodsell. Can we get more from the Cannibal Elder? I support women's rights and women's wrongs. Absolutely. We do have an episode in the future planned for the Cannibal Elder, which I hope will be enjoyable as well. This is one of those things where I know this episode's going to happen, but it might not happen immediately. What I will say is that this episode will happen either right before or during a segment of High Nai, which we are calling The Long Winter. Being that this is, Canada, we have a segment of High Nai that is a very important part of Act 3 called Long Winter, and yeah, we will definitely have a cannibal-centric episode soon-ish, as soon as we hit our milestone for the Long Winter, which is the Christmas episode, the actual Christmas episode, not the bonus Christmas episode. And also, for those who don't know, the Cannibal Elder is named Minerva the Cannibal. And she is primarily inspired by the song, the Dismemberment Song. That's the name of the song, the Dismemberment Song. Alex asks, and these have Act 2 spoilers and content warning for suicide mention. I have some questions about Drosselmeyer for the Q&A. What were their true feelings for Petya? Why didn't they create a clockwork doll body for themselves like it did for Lori? Or kill the elders with the spell they used to destroy their brain? Why wasn't their body found with Lori's in the Gargantua? What were their true feelings for Petya? Now that is an aspect that I wanted to keep mysterious. I did want to clarify that the Puppet Master, or Drosselmeyer, is one of my favorite characters because they are so mysterious, but at the same time, theirs is a love story. They love very deeply, and they certainly love Petya. Now, whether or not they love Petya as one of the most important people in their lives, as their partner, their love for Lori was a lot more defined than their love for Petya. How they saw Petya may have shifted over time, although what I like most about the Puppet Master is that their love is kind of questionable in every other way except for their love for their daughter. So, the way that they love Petya, I would say, is genuine, but not necessarily healthy. I did want it to be very toxic. It's not that they didn't love Petya, it's just that whether you see them as loving Petya as a person or as an object or as a spouse or as a partner is kind of meant to be inscrutable, as they were. Why didn't they create a clockwork doll body for themselves like they did with Lori, or kill the elders with the spell they used to destroy their brain? So, for the clockwork doll body, they had no real intention of preserving themselves. The Puppet Master had no great ambition beyond discovery, beyond sort of like experimentation. They were a scientist. They were a very wise and intelligent person, but the things that they did in burning down Hyde and like all of those kind of extreme things that they've done were mainly for Lori's sake. Lori was the extreme personality. The Puppet Master was not this highly ambitious, grand, like wanting to take over the world type. They just wanted to kind of discover answers to questions that they were studying in the medical field, and they used the power that they learned to do it. They had no interest in making a doll for themselves because, again, like they made the doll to keep Lori safe. So everything for Lori was kind of like a lot of what their motivation was. Everything for Lori and everything for the pursuit of science, a little bit of both. They felt very deeply about their inability to have children, and so having a child was very important to them. They just had no interest in making themselves a clockwork doll body. They had no interest in, like, that sort of immortality. And for the other elders not being killed by their brain explosion magic, it's mainly because to them and to Lori, it was kind of all like a game. So the game was that they were putting dolls out to fight for them. They could have ended the war easily, but Lori wanted to fight the war. It was kind of like when you put dolls and pretend at war, pretend at battle. Lori was very childish, and Lori was very, like, had this idea of what being a princess and having a kingdom and all that looked like and entailed. Similar to how in World War I, a lot of the British soldiers believed that the war would be something more glorious and two sides volleying back and forth without, like, with danger, but without any of the actual, like, horrors that one would, like, associate with war now. Similarly, Lori and the Puppet Master were playing at this war, in Lori's case, because it was getting in the way of her goals, whereas Puppet Master had no skin in the game. They just wanted to protect Lori, they just wanted to, like, do what Lori wanted, and they were very confident in their own power. But if you'll remember, the way Lori was taken was abrupt, very fast, and so in between that, like, Lori getting killed and the Puppet Master, like, killing themselves was very fast. They had no interest in ending the war quickly, but as soon as Lori was dead, they also had no interest in, like, killing the ones who did it, because that was kind of, like, the end of the road for them. Also, it's a bit more, like, difficult logistically for them to kill others with the aneurysm magic, but they knew their own body with deep study and, you know, access to their own, like, blood and everything. So I'm sure they could have done that if they were interested in doing it. But again, the whole war was kind of play acting with higher stakes. They just saw them as dolls, and that was kind of, like, the whole point of Lori's character, and the Puppet Master was just going along with it. As for why their body was not found in their gargantua, it's because their body was studied, but then as soon as their body was studied, they were like, oh, okay, there's no point. There's nothing here. The reason that they did the aneurysm was to kind of destroy their brain so that they could not be resurrected as a puppet. So it worked. Unfortunately, they kind of did not think, and it was a very emotional moment as well, but like they kind of didn't think the same of Lori. So the unfortunate outcome of that is that Lori was the one who was installed in a doll, basically like siphoned for answers by whomever did it, which I'm sure you have theories about. But as of now, it's like, yeah, the reason that their body wasn't there was because there was no point in doing anything with it. Benefactor did take a look at the body, but when they realized they couldn't really do anything with it, they just didn't put it where Lori's was. They just didn't care. I haven't decided whether the Benefactor took the body and tried to look it over where he is, or if they just left it in the field, but it's certainly not where Lori's dead body is now. Another question from Alex. Act 2 spoiler. The river, the in-between place where Mary traps Lori, do you imagine it looking like any particular location in the Philippines? Now, this is a great question because the imagery of the river in this particular case is based on the beliefs of many pre-colonial Filipinos about the afterlife. There is a thing called the Manunggol jar. It is a burial jar where you can see on top these two figures, one on the front of a boat and one at the back. And basically it is like a human being guided to the afterlife. And that's kind of how the afterlife was seen as, like a river ride. And there's no particular river I'm thinking of in this moment. There are quite a few rivers in the Philippines, but they never get as large as they do in like North America. But because they are so prominent, with the Philippines being very much an archipelago and the biggest like land mass in the Philippines having many rivers, it was just the general belief that the river would lead out to the sea and the river in death would lead into the afterlife. So that was the imagery I was pulling from. Not any specific river, but the idea that the river leads to the afterlife. Now, we did get a wonderful question from Anonymous on our Tumblr, and we did answer it, but we will also answer it here. I will read out what I typed out for that particular question. Question from Anonymous. If I were to introduce someone to this podcast, and that someone has only ever listened to the Magnus Archives, what could I say to convince them to listen in? My answer was, first of all, thank you for taking the time to introduce us to new listeners. Second of all, that depends. What are they most interested in? In general, you can tell them it has a similar vibe and feel to Magnus, with the phone calls and tape recordings, but just a tad spookier and a tad gayer, and with a more diverse main cast of international/Toronto-based characters. Where Magnus had the acerbic ace uptight archivist who secretly fucked up with childhood trauma, Hainai has a sweetheart 5-foot-tall fat pansexual Filipina who secretly fucked up with childhood trauma. Where Magnus had the inherent tragicomedy of workplace dynamics turning into complicated interpersonal relationships, Hainai has the inherent tragicomedy of a Scooby Gang friend group who love each other so deeply that the fact that they might not all make it out alive may destroy them forever. And where Magnus deals with the cosmic horror of entities and fear, Hainai deals with how the supernatural is much more bearable and easy to solve than the real-life horror of fascism, which is actually what our most powerful magic-using characters had to deal with that gave them the aforementioned f***ed-up childhood trauma. And capitalism, because our villains are weird rich people. I think on surface level, our sound is so similar to Magnus Archives, and even more so Magnus Protocol, that people can scratch their itch with Hainai once they finish up all available Magnus episodes, but hopefully they'll find the unique story as they go along, and have the patience for how small and busy our team is, since we only release one episode every 2 weeks. Also, if you like Filipino folklore, we sometimes dive into that in our Remind Me to Tell You Later episodes. We have 51 story episodes available to listen to wherever you listen to podcasts, so, you know, give us a listen. And that was the Q&A. Thank you so much, everyone, for supporting us and for listening. And if you have questions that you want to add, we can have another Q&A in our next hiatus, which is coming up in a couple months, in a few months. Not a couple. I use couple to mean a few, but I actually just mean a few months. Which you'll know about when we hit the Christmas episode. So thank you again. Marami salamat. We'll be posting the next episode, Sinungaling or Lies, next week. That's April 4 for patrons who get early access, and April 7 on Sunday for everybody else. Now, if you like this and you like our podcast, please make sure to let everybody know about it. Make sure to listen to it on Acast, where you get some ad revenue, or even become a patron, because the patrons get a lot of really cool exclusive stuff. Bonus episodes, bonus audio, bonus video, depending on the tier that they join. Thanks again to all our patrons who support us and make sure that we keep going as a podcast. And as always, thank you, we love you, and hanggang sa muli.
You're listening to Hainai by Motsi Dapul.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.